Afternoon chat makes your day brighter with David Korskaren on Grief FM.
And welcome back to Griff FM and to Afternoon Chat. I am David Korskaden. If you are only joining us now, where have you been? You have already missed 15 minutes of a great show, if I do say so myself. Don't forget, if you want to get involved with the show, make sure to tweet us. It is at David Korskaden, and we want to hear all your news and any opinions you have on our next topic, because I am joined in studio by, I might get in trouble for saying this, but my favourite food stylist.
Oh, thank you.
Miss Sharon Hearn-Smith.
Thank you
for
David.
Coming.
You have others that you like then, but I'm the favourite.
You're my favourite.
Okay, brilliant. Glad to hear it.
They're all much lower down.
Brilliant. thank you for having me.
Thanks very much for coming in. And I must say, our studio smells amazing at the moment, because you have a treat that you're going to be making for us.
Well, I don't travel lightly. I never like going anywhere without being surrounded by pots and pans, etc. But I've brought something that I'm going to cook for you while we're chatting. All will be revealed at the end.
All will be revealed at the end. And, of course, we are here to talk about food styling.
Yes.
So what was it about food styling and food that kind of got you interested in it?
Well, actually, food is in my blood because I grew up in a family restaurant. Our kitchen was the restaurant kitchen. So I've always been in the thick of, you know, food production. My parents always encouraged me to work, like, particularly in the salad bar and in the dessert area, because I always made everything look particularly nice, apparently, which at the time, I suppose I didn't really realise the significance of that. But it's always been in my blood. I've always enjoyed it in school and in college, etc. as well.
And you started off as a home economics teacher.
That's right.
You made the transition into food styling and food writing. Why did you decide to make the change?
Right. Well, I didn't ever grow up wishing to be a teacher as such, but I loved the idea of the home economics course, the fact that it involved like cooking, interior design, textile design. I just loved the whole creative side of it. And so I did the course, and because of the course, I became a teacher. And I did love teaching, and I went off to London teaching for a year. But while I was in London, I always had a longing to work in food magazines. I've always loved flicking through the pages and looking at the pictures and reading the stories. So while I was in London, a good friend of mine, Orla Broderick, gave me lots of her contacts over there. And on my summer holidays from school, I went and did work experience with food stylists. And suddenly, you know, I didn't even know anything about the industry that it existed. So I just rang school and said, I'm not coming back. And off I went and became an assistant for a few years to learn the trade.
And have you ever looked back at teaching or?
No, never looked back, thankfully.
And I have worked with you on a shoot before.
That's right. A man of many talents, David.
I survived.
What do you mean you survived?
As a gardener, I survived the cooking.
The cooking, yeah. Well, everybody should survive cooking. It's easy.
But I was surprised by actually how much goes into just taking one photo and get one photo ready.
That's right. Well, you worked with me last summer on a cookbook. And it's quite intense working on a cookbook. We had, I think, 80 shots to shoot in a very short space of time. I think we did 10 shots a day, which is quite a lot. So we had a massive team, including your good self. You were, I think, started out as camera assistant and ended up as kitchen assistant and prop assistant. So there's lots of different departments, lots of work to do. At the end of the day, we just want a fantastic looking image of great food. So it takes a big team and lots of hard work to get it there.
And I suppose we are here to talk about a world exclusive interview.
Oh, yes. Excuse my creaking machine over here while we introduce it.
You have gone from working on other people's books to writing
own
book.
That's right. I have. Finally. The time has come. Last summer, in fact, I started to write my own cookbook. I've worked on other people's cookbooks for years now, and I absolutely love it. And I'm still doing that as well. I still have the day job.
You still have the day job.
But it was quite exciting to get commissioned my own first cookbook. And while I tell you that now, I have my little thing on the go, my little secret surprise for you.
Our secret surprise, which I think is from the cookbook.
It is. So shall I reveal the title? You have the exclusive on the title of the book, David.
And I have seen the cover as well.
Have you?
I have.
How have you seen the cover?
Magic.
I only saw the cover about 2 weeks ago, but basically it's called No Bake Baking. So I absolutely love baking. It's one of my favourite things to do. But when it came to doing my own book, I thought, you know, kind of everything's been done, or I'm so used to doing everything, what can I do that's a bit different? So I took the oven out of the equation, because lots of people are scared of baking. They're afraid of sunken cakes and soggy bottoms, etc. So I took the oven out of the mix, and I created No Bake Baking. And I've got a book full of cakes, biscuits, slices and bars, etc. They're all made without using the oven.
And that is the main reason we can make something in studio today.
Exactly. So I have a nice freshly baked cake for you. No baked cake, I should say. And I'm actually making it in a sandwich toaster. You know, the proper old school retro sandwich toaster, the little triangle shaped slots.
I only bought one there a couple of weeks ago.
David, the kind of thing that people bought in the 80s and 90s. And you pull it out of your cupboard now and dust it down.
They're back in fashion.
They're back. Now. Okay, they are back in fashion. And No Bake Baking are bringing them there.
Exactly.
So you can bake this at home later, David.
I can when the book comes out,
So it's out on June 5th this year, but it's available for pre-order on Amazon right now, which is possibly where you've seen the cover.
That is where I've seen the
cover. Great, because that wasn't up last week, so that's great news. I didn't even know it was there.
No, there was a look of shock on your face.
Yes, yes.
The book hasn't been leaked or anything, don't worry.
Thank God.
And so tell us a bit more about the book. What can people expect?
So like I said, it's full of cakes and actually ice cream cakes, which are quite a novel thing, and especially for this summer now, you can do an ice cream birthday cake or occasion cake instead of a regular baked cake. And like I said, you know, people might be lacking in confidence baking cakes in the oven, but lots of things are set in the fridge and in the freezer. And also I make things in, for example, the sandwich toaster or other appliances like a bread maker, the microwave, and what was the other thing that was interesting? A slow cooker as well. I did a cake in a slow cooker.
There really are no excuses not to bake.
No excuses to just get in there, stuck in and get tucked into the cakes.
I can think of a number of friends I will be buying this book for, because they have had failed attempts at baking cakes. So it could be the foolproof
this is the one
option
for them. Absolutely.
And do you have a favourite recipe, or is it too hard to pick a favourite recipe from the book?
Well, yes, it is kind of hard to pick. They're all amazing. And I have eaten everything probably twice or three times over in the process of making the book. But actually there's one, and it wasn't ever photographed for the book. But so don't let it slip by you when you flick through. But it's a chocolate cheesecake it's actually a triple chocolate cheesecake with the blackberry kind of compote poured over the top. And it's absolutely amazing. I've made it loads for friends and family already, and they love it.
It sounds amazing.
Chocolate is always a winner.
So you've heard it here. Do not pass that recipe by.
Exactly. Yeah. And actually, sorry, I have one more exclusive on the book in case you're going to move on. We've already sold 20,000 copies of the book, so you better get in there quick with the pre-order.
Well done.
Thanks. Which is quite amazing news.
That is very exciting.
Yeah, and it's not even on the shelves yet.
No. So you'll be taking over the world when it goes on the shelves.
This is it. Watch this space.
Exactly. One thing, when I was researching about you during the week, I discovered you worked as a food stylist on a James Bond movie.
Oh, yes. Does that impress you?
It really does.
It's so funny. Unfortunately, it's kind of possibly wasted on me a little bit, because I'm not really a movie buff or a James Bond follower, although I did find it impressive to be there. But you probably would have got more value out of it, perhaps.
I probably would have.
Yeah. But are you a big fan?
I am a massive fan of James Bond. So your cool rating went sky high.
Okay, well, actually, hopefully I won't go down in the ratings now. I'll give you the grand reveal on the story. So basically, I worked as an assistant to a lady who specialises in food and movies. It's quite a different arena to regular food styling. So I worked for years with her on loads of amazing movies, which was great. And it always takes a few days to prep for a movie. And this particular scene was in the Ice Hotel. It was a massive big reception, and we were doing quite elaborate displays of piled up lobsters, etc. And we got to the studio after our 3 days of prep. I think I got up at about 4 a.m, travelled on the underground across London to Pinewood Studios, and got there for an early start, and we got everything set up. And at the time we were about to start recording, there's nobody around. What's happening? No actors, no Halle Berry, no Pierce Brosnan. And eventually, hours later, we were told it was all cancelled, go home. And it didn't ever happen, David.
It never happened.
No, and the skinny on it was that Halle was having marital problems at the time and just couldn't face doing the scene, and she went off for a few days break before the scene happened again, and at which point I was already booked for something else, so I didn't ever get to do the one that was actually on the TV or in the movie.
So
but I was there, I have the photos on the set. But I'm sorry, have I gone down in your estimation now?
Just a tiny bit.
Sorry. How can we bring it back up again? Let me tell you another story.
Another story. Well, another thing I was very impressed with was you have worked with, I consider her because I watched so much TV and cookery programmes. You worked with the Barefoot Contessa.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, Irish people absolutely love her and are very impressed that I did that. That's right. Ina Garten is the Barefoot Contessa, and she has quite a famous show in America. She's based in the Hamptons, and it's produced by a London production company, and I've worked with them over the years in London, and so they asked me to come to the Hamptons as well. So I've been three or four series I think I've done with Ina now, and it's very exciting out there in the Hamptons. It's a massive production. She lives in an amazing pad and has her new barn now that she cooks into, so it's very exciting.
And do you find, is a programme based in America, kind of for an American audience, is it very different to, say, an Irish cooking programme?
Well, it is for the fact, first of all, that like Irish productions just don't have as much money. It's not as big budget. So I suppose that has a ripple effect on everything else that happens then. Ina would, call in flares that cost hundreds of dollars to decorate the set, etc. Whereas that wouldn't happen here, I suppose. So, yeah, it's quite different.
Quite different.
Yeah.
Which do you prefer doing?
What, Irish or...
Yeah, or Irish or American.
Oh, well, you have to love the Irish programmes.
You do.
And I'm here at home then. I can work from home. But the working on Ina's programme was just amazing. And it's such a massive production. There's so many people working on it. And it's quite an unusual way of filming, because we might start a recipe on Monday morning, but then we mightn't finish it until perhaps Tuesday afternoon, as in we'll come back to it. And so I have loads of kind of continuity issues that I need to keep on top of with regards to how I sliced an onion. It needs to look exactly the same for the next afternoon, or if she baked something on Monday morning and I have to have it again on the next day, I have to have it looking exactly the same dish, the same colour on the top, etc. So it's quite a different way of working, I think, because it's a bigger production.
And we have about 5 minutes left, so we have to talk about this amazing dish you have cooked.
Okay. So this is my no-bake bake. It's called Tasty Triangles with a Creamy Lemon Filling. And it's basically a cake mixture with almonds and lovely yogurt in it. And I've cooked it in the retro sandwich toaster. And so I can see all the crew out there. They all want some as well.
My crew is very jealous at the moment.
Well, sorry, you're outside there. We're in here. I cooked it in the toasty machine, so the little cakes have come out in like that lovely triangular shape, and I've just sandwiched them together with a lovely mascarpone and lemon curd filling. So it looks like a little toasty sandwich, but it's actually a sweet one. And it's all for you, David.
And all for me.
Yeah.
And there's none for the rest of my crew.
Well,
I just get to eat them.
I do like feeding people. I'm a bit of a feeder, so I actually have loads pre-made, and I'll save some for them. Photographs and everything being taken. This is the moment, David, when you're eating on camera. You don't want food to dribble down your face. Shall I just keep talking while you keep eating? Okay.
It's very hard to present a radio show when you have your mouth full of amazing cake.
What do you think?
Are you
impressed?
I am
a no-bake cake?
I have 2 minutes left.
Okay, well, keep eating.
I'll just keep eating.
Should I keep talking? Ask me one more question and I'll talk on.
What, for people like me who, I'm okay at cooking, but the dishing up and the presenting it, like you set a very high example in magazines and cookbooks. What are kind of easy ways for people to kind of
make their food look good?
Okay.
Now, in with respect, I do have lots of time. I spend, for example, I always say I'd never get a job in a coffee shop or a cafe because I'd take forever making a sandwich. It could take me about an hour to build a sandwich to make it look beautiful for a photograph. But anyhow, people at home, I suppose, be conscious of the plates and things that you choose, that it suits the shape and style of the food. Also have lots of nice flourishes in the end, like lovely fresh herbs. Cracked black pepper always makes everything look yummy, obviously savoury. Drizzle and pour your sauces on just last minute so that they don't drizzle all over the plate and kind of dry out. And one big thing that I always do in food styling is I brush things with oil to make them look warm and glossy and gooey and oozy again. And while, you know, you shouldn't obviously lather loads of oil on your food for obvious reasons, you know, a little drizzle of oil over something savoury will just kind of oomph it up before you serve it as well.
So just right before you're bringing it out, just give it a quick brush. And
exactly, it all looks fresh and vibrant.
And impress all your friends and family.
Yeah, exactly. Obviously, it has to taste good too, David, but...
There is that too. Yeah. We eat with our eyes as well.
Yeah, absolutely.
So it weighs
It's a good start.
It does.
Exactly.
As long as it isn't burnt or anything.
Exactly.
It's a plus for me. So thank you very much for
coming in and
joining us. And people out there, you need to buy this book.
It is out absolutely. June the 5th.
And you can pre-order it.
You can pre-order it.
The 22,000 people who've already
exactly bought it.
So you want to be in that queue to get it.
Absolutely.
Thank you very much, Sharon,
for
joining me.
Thank you, David, for having me. It's been a pleasure. And congratulations on the show. You're doing an amazing job. I love it.
Thanks. I'll leave your brown envelope outside, yeah?